Gates closed. All set.
It's Case the Race on Double X1090.
And they are off. Hark's fun to catch as they come off the turn. Curran giving his all. A length and a half behind. Too close to call.
Now with the ultimate hour of horse racing, here's Toby Terrell and Larry Zapp.
And a very happy Saturday morning to all of you out there in radio land and internet land, notably casetherace.com. This is Case the Race Radio. I'm Toby Terrell. I'm alongside my co-host Larry Zapp. We are sitting one of the best seats in the house here at beautiful Del Mar Racetrack, where the turf meets the surf. We're right where it all starts. And, you know, we've had a wild week. All the way around in thoroughbred horse racing, not only with the equine athletes and some big news there, but we begin the show on a note, a shocking note. Many people in this industry in horse racing, even in quarter horse racing in California, know the name Vessels very, very well. And Millie Vessels, former owner of Los Alamitos Racetrack, where I kind of grew up in Orange County in my younger years, Frank, everybody knew him as Scoop Vessels, so had a very tragic airplane crash a couple of days ago, and it really shook and rocked the racing community here. He was just loved by all, and Joe Harper caught him on the news, local news, that evening. He was shocked, dismayed, and we all were, but we're saddened to say goodbye far too early to Frank Scoop Vessels. We're going to miss him and what he brought to all of horse racing. But, you know, on an equine note, we had, again, opposite ends of the spectrum. Last weekend, nobody let down as the big mare stayed undefeated. Of course, we're talking about Zenyatta. And then the following day, we saw one of the most genuine mares we've seen run in California in years, named Tuscan Evening, pull up suddenly after a workout here on the turf, and she unfortunately didn't return back to the barn, but she did give us nothing but thrills for all the races we were blessed to be able to see her run. So many, many news headlines all over the map, but I guess I know where my co-host would want to start out, and that's talking about what happened here at Del Mar last Saturday, and nothing but happiness and joy on that note.
Yeah, no doubt. Good morning, everyone. Larry Zapp here, Case the Race Radio. And, you know, Toby, last Saturday, what a scene here at Del Mar. Third year in a row, Zenyatta shows up for the Clement Hirsch Stakes, grade one. You know, Azari had won it twice, and Zenyatta was trying to make it three. And Azari yesterday, with some other notable Del Mar connections, went into the Hall of Fame. I'm talking Best Pal, the gelding who at 3 years old won the inaugural Pacific Classic, and Azari, the great race mare, who was voted Horse of the Year, something Zenyatta has not received yet. But, you know, people are starting to call Zenyatta the horse of the decade, if not the horse of the century. Jerry Moss and his lovely wife, Anne, they were very gracious in bringing her back. And, boy, the fans showed up like I've never seen them. I couldn't even count how deep they were in the paddock area when Zenyatta walked in. I mean, 2 years ago, they were three deep. Last year, they were eight or nine deep. This year, they were, who knows, 50 deep. It was packed. The biggest crowd Del Mar's had outside of an opening day. And that says a lot for not only Zenyatta, her greatness, the job John Sheriff's done and Mike Smith has done with this great race mare, but the fans coming out on a beautiful Saturday. There's so many choices here in San Diego. You know, the Padres winning last night, and I'm all over the place right now. Big win over the Giants, 3.5 up. There's so much to do. The beaches, you name it, SeaWorld, the zoo. Bottom line is the people showed up. Zenyatta showed up, and she made it 18 in a row. And, you know, she didn't win by much, but I was talking to Mike Smith over at the Pamplemousse restaurant last night, and we were all watching and cheering on those Padres. But I was talking to Mike Smith, Azari, and he was very proud of her, but talking about Zenyatta. And, you know, she just did what she needed to do. I love what her owner, Jerry Moss, said, Toby. She's just a miracle.
Yeah, I would say so. How could you not, no matter how you look at immortality? undefeated, that speaks for itself. And like everybody says that loves her, she shows up every time, and that's the beauty of Zenyatta. The other beautiful thing is watching the show she puts on right here in the paddock where we're nestled in doing this radio show. She puts on a show even before the show that you're just not going to capture beauty and magnificence of an animal anywhere else. And that's the beauty of Zenyatta. And right across the way, we have another broadcast site. It's TVG, which is the Television Games Network, where you can bet the races. And we're going to have a very special guest on today's radio show who's actually on TVG part-time. His name is Ron Ellis. Everybody around here knows him as one of the top named trainers on the circuit. Of course, training Rail Trip before he went back east to a huge campaign. And he's got a big runner today in the La Jolla Grade 2 feature race named Golden Atiz for his longtime clients, the JMS Stables. We're going to talk to Ron about that and a few other things. Just here in a few minutes. But, you know, speaking of choices, Larry, I'll tell you what, you've got choices here if you want to make some money, and in a way that we've never had before at Del Mar. We talked about the 50-cent pick four bet where you have to pick the winners of the last four races at the track, and what great innovation we thought it was and how successful it was going to be. I think it's even gone beyond what we could have dreamed of, because for 50 cents, I believe I'm reading this right, yesterday. First of all, the pools are $500,000, it seems like, with the blink of an eye. But I believe for 50 cents last night, you're going to get back $3,279 for a 50-cent bet. And on that note, of course, that means another thing that we do have at Del Mar today, and that's a $157,000 pick six carryover.
Yeah, $157,000 carryover. The 50-cent pick four is so popular because you can spread on your own ticket, not have to look for people to play it with. It really helps the small to medium gambler or the horse player, and I think that's very helpful, and Del Mar was very smart to institute that for this current meet, Toby. But let's talk quickly about the racetrack itself. You know, we had our first breakdown, unfortunately, yesterday afternoon. I think during the races of the whole meet, the track's been very good in the mornings. We have not seen too much of that horse ambulance, which we used to see a lot more of. And, you know, you being a clocker and up in the stands every morning, and I just want to mention that filly Love at the Bay, very unfortunate. She looked home for Rafael Becerra. Victor Espinoza did a great job after she broke down and pulling her up, and all the other jocks not basically, it could have been disastrous because she was on the lead. But bottom line, Toby, the racetrack at Del Mar, not everybody's the biggest fan, but you know what? It's keeping these horses safe. It you know, and we've had some pretty good weather. What's your impression so far in 2010 of this Del Mar racetrack as we basically hit the midway part of the meet today?
Well, I guess when you say we've had pretty good weather, you'd have to really qualify that here locally, especially in Del Mar and the San Diego County, because as reported just a couple of days ago by the Del Mar Times, we have had the coolest month of July in recent history, going back 100 years. And that comes right from the source at Lindbergh Field right here in San Diego. You know, as we move up and down the coast where this signal goes for XX 1090, of course, we go all the way up past Ventura into Santa Barbara and all the way inland, Riverside, Murrieta, and all through Los Angeles. I guess you wouldn't know you were in the same state or the same country, depending on where you are. I'll tell you what, it was cold there this morning at Del Mar. But for all you beachgoers, as Larry mentioned, no worries. I guess tomorrow the heat. They're going to say we'll be back on.
I'm bummed out about that. You know me, I like it cool, and it's been cool in the morning. Sun has broke through the last couple of weeks. And, you know, everything for this meet, Toby, I think has been picture perfect. The good crowd, the big crowd opening day, the big crowd for Zenyatta. But every day, I don't think the racing office has had much difficulty filling the races. I think the horses are coming back sound out of their gallops. A lot of people are up at Hollywood Park, and it's nice that we have those options to train either at Hollywood Park or come down and train at Del Mar. The traffic has been lighter than in years past, and I really think that has helped the horses who are on the grounds and are training here at Del Mar. I just saw Wickedly Perfect, who won the Sorrento Stakes, walk through the paddock, and she looks like she came out of her race beautifully, no doubt being pointed to the signature two-year-old filly race of the meet, the Del Mar Debutante. But let's talk about this racetrack. In your eyes, watching it in the morning, watching it in the afternoon, we know it's safer, but is it bettable? Are we seeing what the horses are doing in the morning is translating to what they're doing in the afternoon?
Well, my answer to that is simple. Nothing has changed as far as making money at the racetrack. In fact, this is one of my just things that baffles me is that people talk about yesteryear when we had a dirt surface and how it seems like everybody used to win. Well, we all know that's not true. The same percentage of people are winning and the same percentage of people are losing. The bottom line is you got to do your work and you've got to do the right work and gather the right data just like you always have. And you can show a profit. In fact, Larry, not to toot my own horn, but I'll
go
just,
ahead, Toby,
I'll just
toot
do
it.
Tout
because,
it. You know, Del Mar, we're at Del Mar. That's DMTC.com. That's the second website you go to after you go to CaseTheRace.com. Because at Del Mar, I am showing a profit for the meet. And, you know, it's one thing to say it, one thing to have an opinion. But then, you know, beautifully enough, I can sit here and say I'm showing a flat bet profit right over the Del Mar website on a daily basis if you played each horse that I've given out at the meet.
Yeah, and that's a good website. Del Mar, DMTC.com. Go under handicapping. I'm on there, and, you know, I gave out a 9-1 shot that run fifth, but if you watch the race, Jack Sell for Barry Abrams, I think that horse is going to be 8-5 next time. Probably was best, but, you know, we all got those stories. On the turf especially, you have to get the trip. And that's the story about horse racing. But, Toby, you are on fire. I've been holding my own. But let's jump into something that we're making a regular segment, and that's the National Select segment. And what National Select is what I'm doing on CaseTheRace.com. I'm selling spot plays around the country, looking for that vertical those vertical scores, and I'm talking about trifectas and superfectas. We've been very consistent at this meet. If you go to Case the Race, either click my name, Larry Zapp, or click National Select. And, you know, I'm going to go to a race at Woodbine today, and Woodbine is in your program, ladies and gentlemen. You just have to kind of dig a little to find it. It's near the back, and it's on two pages. And the reason I'm bringing up this Woodbine race is twofold. One is because I really like the race, and two is I have some involvement in the race. And I'm talking about race number 9 at Woodbine. This is a full field of really nice horses. The allowance conditions at Woodbine have really gotten strong in the last couple of years. Big reason, the purse structure. Steve Asmussen's a regular mainstay. He's trying to challenge Mark Cassie, the perennial leader for training title. But these horses are doing really well when they ship elsewhere. A stake at Saratoga a few weeks ago had all Woodbine shippers running 1, 2, 3 on the grass. But let's jump into race number 9. A horse I actually purchased at public auction that, of course, I'm following very closely is the 6-horse Red Leader. Just love that they laid him 15-1 on the morning line. He needed his comeback race, his first race as a 4-year-old. It was actually a race where he showed more speed than he ever has before. I love that. He's come out of it to train well. He's got a bullet on August 9th. And at 15-1, I recommend definitely a win, maybe a place bet. Race number 9 at Woodbine, and I'm talking about number 6, Red Leader. I'm going to play him with the 2-horse Arrows Conquest, the 3-horse The Great McGee. A long shot I'm going to use is the 4 Orator, and I'm going to also throw in the number 9 horse Mecca Ba, who's probably the horse to beat here. This is a very nice betting race, but key in on the number 6 horse in race number 9 at Woodbine, and I'm talking about Red Leader at 15-1, and we'll be back for the second quarter of Case the Race Radio in a second.
The Padres play all 162 games here. XX 1090.
How would you like an extra $100 to wager on the races this summer? Just open a brand new DelmarBets.com account and wager $100. The very next day, we'll deposit $100 to your account. That's it. Easy as a cool coastal breeze. DelmarBets.com, powered by ExpressBet, is the best way to play the races online and by phone. Play hundreds of harness and thoroughbred tracks all year long from the comfort of your home, office, or wherever you happen to be. And unlike other legal wagering services, DelmarBets.com charges no membership, monthly, or per wager fees. Open a DelmarBets.com account today, online or by phone, at 800-235-9470 and get your $100 wagering credit. Visit DelmarBets.com for complete details and use promo code DMVRadio. Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
She did. Where that is the unofficial official Zenyatta theme song. I kind of picked up on it on a YouTube video somebody put together, and they put all her moves to Bob Seger's The Strut. And we've got a special guest that Toby mentioned, Ron Ellis. And Ron, you were part. Were you down here last Saturday? And good morning to you.
Yeah. How you doing, Larry? Yeah, I was here last Saturday. Quite a day.
It was quite a day. And she does kind of strut a little. We're talking the great Mare Zenyatta. You've been in this game for, you know, quite a few decades for such a young man. Have you ever seen crowd participation like you saw maybe last Saturday with the great Mare?
Well, I think the last couple times I've seen it, you know, John Henry used to have quite a following, and he'd kind of, it reminded me when he'd walk in the paddock of a heavyweight title fight, you know, when the fighters come walking in. I remember him and Perot when they squared off in the Santa Anita Handicap, and that was quite an exciting moment. And then I'd have to go all the way back to Cougar the Second to remember a horse that actually put on a show like Zenyatta does. He would pose in front of the grandstand in the post parade, and you know, it was pretty impressive. The fans would roar, and then he'd walk down about another 70 feet and do it again. And you know, Zenyatta seems to have that same perception of the crowd. You know, she knows that she's being appreciated.
Yeah, definitely does know it. And we're talking with Ron Ellis. He's a horse trainer first, but he's also on TVG. And I've been listening to you, Ron, on TVG, and you actually. It seems like with everything else in life, you're getting the hang of it, you know, being on the air and talking handicapping as much as anything else and giving good, giving good background to the fan base. Because I always say we don't just want to deal with our current fan base. We want to introduce the game in a simplistic way, but yet create a kind of a vibe from the new fan base because we need people to go hit those windows. How's that working out for you? You've been doing it a couple years now.
Yeah, and it's been pretty fun. It's a good diversion for me. You know, we work 7 days a week training, and so it's kind of nice to have something a little bit different. But being involved in the game, I still enjoy the training, and it's my first line of work. But I am enjoying TVG, and you know, a lot of the handicapping parts go back to when I first got started in this business. I mean, I didn't come in here to be a trainer originally. I 15 years old, I was hot walking horses and handicapping horses basically for a living. I mean, you make so little money hot walking that I had to gamble if I was going to have any fun. And so I would come down to the paddock and watch horses every race and got to know them. And I could tell you if a horse was sweating this race where he wasn't sweating last race. And I'm sure you guys are much the same because I know you both put a lot of time and effort into it. And I think that's the kind of thing you have to do when you're really, really serious about it. A lot of people don't have time for that. But and then I try to do a lot of my getting fans involved that maybe don't know some of the nuances. And that kind of goes back to when I did the NTRA on Fox.
I remember that. You've got quite a history on the air. And Toby, I'm gonna throw it to you. But you know, I'm reading from an article I picked up on the internet today. It says Ron Ellis trained his first stakes winner at 20, and through the years. And Ron, I don't know who wrote this, but he has gained a reputation for being a patient, precise, hands-on trainer who puts his horses first. Toby Terrell.
Well, I was just in a, you know, I've been out here for 40 of my 45 years in life and would rather be nowhere else than Del Mar, Santa Anita, and Hollywood Park. And my dad was he's worn all the hats, not only in thoroughbred racing, Terry Terrell, but he was a big-time mutual clerk, and he worked the windows that were always very live, and he'd get all the live stories and goings-on at the racetrack. And I was going to have Ron clear this up for me. I remember a story about, I think your must have been your first big horse, how you were so hands-on that you wouldn't leave the stall 24-7. Is there any truth to that?
Well, I don't know about 24-7, you know, but I was there quite a bit. I mean, I was his groom and his trainer and hot walker, and we did everything for To Be or Not. It was quite a fun time. Gave me a lot of exposure at a young age. He's a horse that won 8 stakes for me and was sprinter of the meet at several of the tracks. So it was a lot of fun. But it did give me a lot of exposure and kind of set me on my way.
I was told you slept outside the stall, you wouldn't leave. And is that to make sure the horse won or to make sure you cashed your bet?
Well, I think, you know, that probably comes from on my way home from the bars at night. I'd stop by back by the stall, make sure he was okay. And so it just seemed like I was there all the time.
It's a 24-7 job without a doubt, Ron. And now you're, you know, obviously you have to stay more on top of it than ever before because of your gig with TVG. Not that you didn't anyway. And one thing, I saw Julio Canani up in the press box the other day. And, you know, he's known as a really top conditioner and he's won Breeders' Cups on the grass. And but what I congratulated him on was winning with this inexpensive mare, filly, or I don't know if she's 4 or 5, named Stropey. She was the first 2-time winner at this meet. And what's most interesting is she's running for 10,000 and 12.5. And here's a guy who's won Breeders' Cups. And you're kind of in the same position because you get some pretty nice horses to train over the years. The Exotic Woods, kind of the first one that comes to mind for me, Key Phrase. You were known to be the guy with the fillies, twice the Vice. And then obviously you've taken it to the colts, and you've got a nice colt today by the great Tiz Now in the La Jolla Handicap. But what I want to ask you is, over the years as a handicapper, as a gambler, I've noticed you, like Julio Canani, really take these less expensive horses, cheaper horses, not for granted, and you really don't run them until you have them right and they're ready to run their A race. And I think just the respect you have and a Julio has to the horses, it's something to be admired. But as a player, when Ron Ellis claims a horse, I'm going to take a longer look at it. Talk about getting your hands on a new horse that's been in somebody else's hands. And we're talking the cheaper stock. We're not talking about a $200,000 yearling. Talk about how you approach, you know, what you're going to do with a horse like that.
Well, my main game is, as you know, is getting younger horses and going through those and hoping to get some stake horses out of that group. But sometimes that can get a little bit slow. And to kind of have some action and be in the game and keep your numbers up, you have to claim horses. So I enjoy claiming horses. I don't like to do it a whole lot. I mean, it doesn't, you know, if you become a claiming trainer, you're not exactly the most popular guy on the backside. And not like I'm trying to win any popularity contest, but I do have to go to work every day. And I do like to kind of smile and say hi to people. And if you've got everybody sneering at you, it's not so fun. So, but I do claim horses. I enjoy it. And, you know, when we get a horse in the barn, we're just, I try to do my homework ahead of time. I try not to claim horses that are on their, you know, last leg, so to speak. And I always try to have a plan of something that they have a lot of upside, you know, whether it be stretching out or trying to turf or, you know, shortening up or doing something. So I look for a horse that, you know, maybe just hasn't been in the right spots. And you know, sharpening your handicapping, as you mentioned, Julio is probably one of the better handicappers there are out here to go along with one of the better trainers. And I think you've got to be a good handicapper, especially to play the claiming game. And you know, we just get them. We try to fix them up as best we can and make them happy and hope they perform in the afternoon.
Yeah, and then, you know, what I actually have just learned in recent years is really how much time it takes to get a horse to look so magnificent. Like, I can tell you, I believe I saw your horse yesterday shipping in from Hollywood Park. Speaking of Golden, it is running in today's La Jolla Handicap. I think he was... he was dappled from ear to ear, and you know, there's no shortcuts to getting those beautiful big dapples on a thoroughbred racehorse. In fact, my daughters, when they would come to the track, you know, I used to own and breed horses, maybe sometime again soon, but she'd always, my kids are tough, you know, they're like, Dad, come, your horses don't have those big baseball-sized dapples on them. I guess maybe because I didn't have Ron Ellis as my trainer, I don't know, but let's talk about today's La Jolla Handicap. A grade 2 race, and you're going to try and experiment in here with your colt. You're going to put him on the turf, and his name is Golden It Is, and he'll be ridden today by Patrick Valenzuela, which, by the way, Tyler Bayes, I just read this morning, is recovering. I don't know if Ron's got an update for us on how Tyler's doing, but Patrick Patrick Valenzuela will replace Tyler Bayes on Golden It Is. And what do you think about today's race?
Well, it is an experiment for us a little bit. You know, our plan was originally to run in the Swaps Stakes. I was very excited about doing that. My horse was doing great. And then the last workout before he was going to run, he worked 102-2, did not finish well. He scoped, he bled a little bit, and he just got sick on me for a couple days. And I really don't know what that came from. He bounced back out of it rather quickly, but I didn't want to run him off of a poor workout. So we just kind of backed off 3 days is all I missed with him. And then he seems 100% since then. He's worked tremendous lately. He worked 112 and change in his last work. That was I gave him a little target to run at. And so he's doing tremendously well, but I really just have no idea what he's going to do on the turf. And the reason we're trying the turf is because all the big three-year-old races here in California for the rest of the year are all on turf. So we kind of need to know if he's going to be able to handle the turf in top company, or we're going to have to probably ship somewhere.
Well, Ron Ellis, the handicapper, looks at the race like the rest of us, and it's obvious to see that you got two real speed horses. Marcius, no doubt, goes to the lead, but then you've got Sydney's Candy, the quality horse who won the Santa Anita Derby and didn't run as well in the Kentucky Derby, but he came back with maybe a race he needed in the Swaps. But they're both kind of front-end runners, and I know you'd love nothing more to see them go at it at some point into the far turn and maybe sit the Golden Trip. Is that pretty much how you're seeing this race?
That's exactly how I'm seeing it. Sydney's Candy, you know, I've watched him a lot. I've been a big fan. You know, Joe Talamo had ridden him all along and done a very good job, but he got a lot of lonely leads over at Santa Anita when he won the Santa Anita Derby. And I actually purchased a rabbit to run against him in the Swaps because I just don't think he's rateable. I think if another horse goes out with him, I think he's going to go as fast as he needs to go to make the lead, which is what he did in the Derby. If you watch the Derby race, Joe had his hands full trying to get him to rate, and it just didn't work. So, and Macias is the same way. Bob Baffert on record is saying this horse has one way to go. He goes to the lead, and he can set some pretty lively fractions too. So I look for Sydney's Candy and Macias to hook up and hopefully set some very fast fractions, and then we can kind of relax a little bit and sit off of that.
You know, Tiz Now has great numbers on every surface. They like synthetic, they like turf, they like dirt. He loved dirt. And, you know, you've been getting your hands on quite a few Tiz Nows. And I do want to give a shout out to a good buddy of ours we had a nice discussion with at the Brigantine restaurant the other day, Brian Carney. I know he's a big fan of Tiz Now himself. But Tiz Now, I mean, the theory I have is when you breed to Tiz Now, you got a chance for anything. The big horse, you know, you can sell them well. You can, you know, you're gonna have to spend money to buy one. But it seems like they all have that heart Tiz Now had. Is that something that has like lured you? You were around when Tiz Now was around. You give a second look to these Tiz Nows at the sales?
Oh yeah, I keep a good eye on them because they're my type of horses. And when I say my type of horses, they're horses that can get a distance of ground. They're a little bit later developing, and you know, they've got that long, beautiful stride. I think a lot of people with the Tiz Nows probably run them a little bit too early because they show so much talent that it's very tempting to run them at two-year-olds. But I think you've got to give them a little bit of time. My horse, he's just now growing. He's a little thinner than I would like right now. He is full of dapples, so he's doing very well. But he's a little thinner than I want now, just because he's shot up. Horses.
He's a baby still. He's three years old. You would equate that to what as a human? Maybe about 20, 22-year-old baseball player.
Yeah, maybe at the most. You know, they're in their early 20s for sure, but he's grown up and then he hasn't added the weight yet, and he's right in the middle of doing that. And so I think he's a horse that's going to be even better at four and probably on to five, hopefully. And but I love the Tiz Nows. They have a great mind, and he was a little bit tough himself. You know, he's a little bit of a tough horse to gallop.
He was a smart horse.
He was known to be able to get a rider off his back pretty easily. But the three that I've had have just been phenomenal to train. They all train like geldings, and I didn't geld any of them. And you know, I've really been happy with the ones I've had.
Well, we talked about Patrick Valenzuela replacing the injured Tyler Bayes, the other jockey that got injured. Ironically enough, Ron, you were talking about, and that's Joe Talamo. You people out here might understand why you might have a little inside track as to why or maybe how Joe Talamo is doing and why you might be able to fill us all in on how he's recovering from his injury.
Well, I saw Joe last night, as a lot of people know, and probably not everybody, is that my daughter's been dating him for 3 years now. I couldn't believe it. They just celebrated their three-year celebrated their three-year anniversary. Yeah, they're 20 and 19, and it was kind of wild. when I found out it had been that long. But so, you know, Joe is over our house quite a bit, and I've kept pretty good track of everything he does. He is the nicest kid in the world, hard worker.
Love
He's
him.
Out there every morning and working as many as he can, as is Tyler. You know, him and Tyler, a lot of similarities. I almost think that they compete more in the morning to see who can work the most horses.
It's amazing.
You know, they'll work 13, 14 horses a morning, both of those kids. And, you know, you asked about Tyler earlier. I saw him at a fundraiser a few nights ago, and he's recovering remarkably well. He looked great. Had a chipped tooth and still a little bit of remnants of a black eye, but he was doing well. He thought he might be able to ride at the end of the meet here. I know he was hoping to be on Battle of Hastings the next time he ran. But and Joe's doing pretty well, too. He was in a lot of pain for the first week when he broke his wrist. Luckily, he didn't need surgery, didn't have any ligament damage. But he has been in a lot of pain. He's learning to deal with it. But as each day goes by, it gets better and better. And he's going to hold out until Oak Tree. You know, it's just no sense rushing back
at
his age.
The timing of it wasn't good. But these are young kids, and they will be back shortly. And we will be, too. We've got to go to the half-hour station break, and we'll be back as soon as we can.
The Padres play all 162 games here. XX 1090.
How would you like an extra $100 to wager on the races this summer? Just open a brand new DelmarBets.com account and wager $100. The very next day, we'll deposit $100 to your account. That's it. Easy as a cool coastal breeze. DelmarBets.com, powered by ExpressBet, is the best way to play the races online and by phone. Play hundreds of harness and thoroughbred tracks all year long from the comfort of your home, office, or wherever you happen to be. And unlike other legal wagering services, DelmarBets.com charges no membership, monthly, or per wager fees. Open a DelmarBets.com account today, online or by phone, at 800-235-9470 and get your $100 wagering credit. Visit DelmarBets.com for complete details and use promo code DMVRadio. Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Well, I don't know if Ron Ellis is a rambling man, but he's a man who wears more than one cap. You can catch him on TVG, and I'm going to assume this weekend because he's down here, and he's obviously running in the La Jolla today with Golden It Is. And basically, Ron, you know, the people who listen to our show, they like handicapping. They like catching a gamble. How's the rest of your meet looking, and maybe should we be looking out for a specific horse?
Well, Larry, to tell you the truth, you know, I knew I was going to be a little bit light coming down into Del Mar. I kept my whole string up at Hollywood Park. I had originally made that decision based on rail trip. I thought that he didn't really handle it down here last year, so I thought I'd keep him up there. But it kind of made sense for the whole stable. We've been running hard all year at Santa Anita and Hollywood Park. I thought a lot of the horses needed a little bit of a break. So we came down here a little bit light. You know, we'll try to run horses in spots that they belong, but I'm mostly going to be running horses in spots that we're kind of testing out the turf a little bit. I'm going to try the turf with a few on Wednesday, and mostly, you know, just kind of getting through the meet. And then looking forward to getting back up to Oak Tree, and then hopefully we'll have some fresher horses, and some of these will be worn out.
Well, it's a long year, and I just want to personally congratulate you on the job you did with Rail Trip. You know, you talked about developing young horses, and I thought the job you did with Rail Trip stands out about as good a job as you've done with any horse. And since we're big fans of his owners, we're going to root for him back east and maybe see him against the great Mare Zenyatta if that's possible. But a few years ago, and it's probably longer than we remember, and I wish I could remember what year, you won the signature race here for the two-year-olds, and I'm talking to Del Mar Futurity. That was Declan's Moon. You actually won the two-year-old honors that year. You did a great job. You beat the next year's Kentucky Derby winner, Giacomo, with him. Before we let you go, can you give us an update on where Declan's Moon might be? And then we'll kick you to the curb, and good luck today with Golden It Is in the La Jolla.
Well, Declan's Moon was a very fun ride. And, you know, he was a horse. I'm going to go down on record as saying he was probably the best, most talented horse. Unfortunately, he didn't get to reach the heights that he would have reached. But he's the most talented horse I've ever trained. And, you know, he was undefeated in that two-year-old season. He won the champion two-year-old. And I was pretty proud of that accomplishment because, you know, how people get labeled. I mean, I'm not labeled as a guy that can do anything with two-year-olds, so I was pretty proud of the fact that, you know, we had the two-year-old champion.
You beat out a Fleet Alex, which was a pretty good horse.
Well, and the thing about it was that, you know, that's a horse. I mean, I've got nothing against running two-year-olds if they happen to be the mature type that can handle it, but most of these, in my opinion, cannot handle running at two if they're going to have any kind of career at three, four, or five. So, anyway, I was pretty proud of Declan's Moon. And fortunate enough for him, you know, after when he came back from surgery on his knee after his three-year-old season, he just couldn't breathe. He had a breathing problem, and it would only kick in when he was in a race at about the quarter pole, which is the most important part. So people really never got to see what he did. And so the Seagulls were gracious enough to retire him, send him back to the farm in Maryland where he was born. He is he's a hero, and back there in Maryland, he was Maryland Horse of the year that he was two-year-old champion. And they show him off
awesome.
Like he's a landmark. So he's having a great life in Maryland.
Awesome. Any final words for Ron Ellis, Toby Terrell?
Well, I got many, many final words, but unfortunately we're going to have to save it for a show down the road. We had great conversation with Ron here at a local place a couple of nights ago. He has incredible stories to tell. And I guess the bottom line is we're all going to have to wait for Oak Tree to wait for maybe another nice little first-time starting winner from the Ron Ellis Barn. But thanks a lot, Ron, for showing up here on Case the Race Radio. And we look forward to seeing you on TVG maybe this weekend and maybe in the winner circle today for the La Jolla.
Yeah, good luck with Golden It Is, Ron.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'll be doing TVG today and tomorrow for a little bit. And then it's always a pleasure to be with you guys.
Okay, thanks. That was Ron Ellis, trainer Ron Ellis, TVG handicapper Ron Ellis, and just overall great guy. Good friend of the show and good friend of ours. And, Toby, people want to start getting some winners on this show. And do we have our cohort, our partner in crime? He says I call him the punk clocker. You know, he's got a little attitude, which you have to be successful in a game like Thoroughbred Racing. Is Donald Harris out there?
What's up, boys? Good day to gamble.
Good day to gamble. Listen to that, ladies and gentlemen. This is a kid, or he's a young man, who just loves to go to those windows and support his strong opinion. Toby Terrell?
Well, yes, indeed. And he supports it usually with a lot of big-priced winners, and that's why he's my partner, and that's why we continue to do it day in and day out. And we're getting rave reviews from these monster lobster payoffs at Del Mar. I talked about the 50-cent pick four. Talked about the fact we have a pick six carryover today, and we're looking for that pool to get up over $1 million here at Del Mar. So I'll tell you what, Larry talked about making plans for the day. Make the plans right now to if you can't be at Del Mar, to make sure you're trying to bet for some of those monster wins at Del Mar at your favorite place to bet, whether it's TVG, Express Bet, You Bet, whatever. Just make sure you get in on some of the action here today. And speaking of action, the pick four, as we traditionally do on the show, begins in race number 7 today.
It does begin with a two-year-old race, so we're going to jump in right to you guys on that two-year-old race, because that's why people go to casetherace.com, buy SoCal Works, buy National Select from me. I don't really hit on the two-year-olds, but I do have a two-year-old race from Mama today. But, you know, getting to that pick six carryover, race 5 is very wide open. It's going to be a out-of-the-paddock race for me. And, you know, race number 6, which we're not going to discuss on the air, top to bottom, you want to talk about a very competitive race, non-winners 2, 62.5 optional claimer. I could almost see all 8 horses in that race having a legitimate shot. So, Donald, if we are alive after the first two legs in this very tough pick six today, we would jump over basically to race number 7, and we're going to have 2 two-year-old races there. But here we have a full field of fillies, 3-year-old fillies, trying a mile on the grass. Any impression from you to start things off in the late pick 4?
Yeah, I think the race goes through Malibu Pier, the Carla Gaines filly that, if you haven't seen her debut, I think it's one to watch, because it's very rare when you see a horse in a 6-furlong sprint race get stopped cold with a furlong left, gather herself up, and then re-rally to get the win and run clear and gallop out clear. So everything about this filly's debut says she's stakes quality. And Toby, why don't you hit on her work that you saw on the grass August 5th, and it doesn't make me think she can win for fun today.
Yeah, that's. I think that's. You know, it's interesting. Larry ran into Malibu Pier's trainer this morning, Carla Gaines, and tongue in cheek, kind of threw a word her way about the filly. And Carla calls her a little filly, and I'd love to have Carla on right now to ask her what little means, because this filly's she's a tall filly, I'll tell you that. She's got legs that don't quit, and she uses those legs the right way. We've talked about athletes, comparing even the equine athletes to the human athletes. When you got legs that don't quit and they're athletic, you're going to be hard to beat. That's what racing and running can be. It can be that simple. So the key with Malibu Pier is that she came out of that race you were referring to in excellent shape. And she showed it right here on the turf course at Del Mar with her workout, because not only did she finish full a run, she galloped out with those legs over to the backside even after the work was over, which tells you that she's still very, very full of herself. And you know, Larry just outlined the first few races of the Pick Six, and right in the middle of this Del Mar card, I didn't really complete my thoughts as to why I know and believe we are heading in the right direction to revolutionize horse racing. For me, I know in Southern California, you know, we have a full field expected for the Pacific Classic. Our stakes races have been so competitive now, people don't remember how uncompetitive they were the last couple of years before I believe we made a very necessary change. We got great racing here at Del Mar. This Pick Six, this 50-cent Pick Four, it might pay another big lobster payoff, and that's what people want. I'm
absolutely
sure.
Absolutely, Toby, that is what they want. And you know, you guys are making me I don't even know if I should show up today. I'm running a horse I bought with my good buddy Pete Erden, the four horse Holy Flapper. And she couldn't be coming into this race any better, Toby. You know, she has trained beautifully down here. She had she should have won last time at 10-1. Unfortunately for my followers on National Select, we didn't get the win money, but I think we hit the exotics that day. But I'm really hoping that her experience around two turns gives her a chance to run into this potential phenom that you guys are talking about, the number 8 horse, Malibu Pier. And I'll tell you, the 3 ninth Infantry and the 10 Sandy Cheeks are two more I'm going to use because of their experience. They ran 1-2 in a common race, and Barry Abrams already came back out of that race and won with Sandy Cheeks, and now she's back for the third time this meet. Kind of a nice way to start off this Pick Four. And you're absolutely right about these fuller fields in our big races, Toby. People do forget. We don't have time on this show, but we're going to remind them. But before we go to that third quarter break, maybe we should really dive into race number 8. These are the what everybody gets excited about. Two-year-olds, hopefully the ones that are more advanced like Ron, that were capable of bringing along the right way so we still have them around in a couple years. And, you know, Donald, the 5 horse, Just Imagine, with that all-important race over the track for Doug O'Neill, was well thought of first time out. Ran a good race, maybe moves forward off of that race. Can you see anybody that possibly can challenge the probably going to be the heavy favorite, the 5 horse, Just Imagine, in leg 2, 8th race, today's late Pick 4?
Oh, absolutely. I do not think this race is a single by any stretch. I didn't like that race that Just Imagine comes out of. It was kind of a packed group at the end. There were some horses that got in trouble, and I've never been a big fan of fields that come together at the wire, so I definitely think you go deeper. Riveting Reason, I did a very good trip in his debut. The Cho Colt broke horribly, and it was really game in the stretch, rallying on the wrong lead. But I'm going to go straight to Toby because he's seen a majority of these horses train lately and train over the track, which is key.
Toby, yeah. Help us out, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, the key, too, is to talk about these handicapping angles like we are, and there has been a little bit of an angle develop here at Del Mar. At least, and by the way, guys, we're halfway through, which is, again, hard to believe. The kids going back to school in 3 weeks, I still can't believe it. But, you know, the last weekend we had a 2-year-old race, and it was kind of a weird occurrence. You had, I think, a field of 9 or 10 horses, and 9 of the 10 had all never run before. They had never run in a race before. There was only one horse that had run in a race before, and that horse's name was Rigoletta, trained by Dan Hendricks and ridden by David Flores. And you know what? We want to think we're geniuses here behind the mic, but sometimes it's as easy as just saying, you know what? Rigoletta is the only horse with any experience, and that experience over the track. It looks like having a race over the track and having experience in the maiden ranks is helping a maiden get to the winner's circle. So with that said, Riveting Reason, I believe, is a live long shot here, because this colt, he ran a big race over this racetrack. He had a very, very poor start and then came flying on. He's 6-1. He's a good number. And speaking of numbers, we're at the three-quarter point of the show, which means we got one final timeout. We'll be back right after this to wrap up the pick four.
Case the Race Radio.
The Padres play all 162 games here.
Double X 1090.
How would you like an extra $100 to wager on the races this summer? Just open a brand new DelmarBets.com account and wager $100. The very next day, we'll deposit $100 to your account. That's it. Easy as a cool coastal breeze. DelmarBets.com, powered by ExpressBet, is the best way to play the races online and by phone. Play hundreds of harness and thoroughbred tracks all year long from the comfort of your home, office, or wherever you happen to be. And unlike other legal wagering services, DelmarBets.com charges no membership, monthly, or per wager fees. Open a DelmarBets.com account today, online or by phone, at 800-235-9470 and get your $100 wagering credit. Visit DelmarBets.com for complete details and use promo code DMVRadio. Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Seen him about 300 times, me about 30, but you can never have too much Bruce Springsteen. Toby, real quickly, eighth race. I'm going to throw about four horses at you. I just wanted you to say play or pass. The three-horse Clubhouse Ride is the most experienced runner in the race. It looks like he kind of is a grinder. Is there any chance we would want to use him on our 50-cent pick four?
Wide open race. The fact you say experience, you might want to throw him in.
What about the horse jumping up in class? Hollendorfer scratched his, I guess, training very good horse on the rail, Indian Winner, but he leaves in the horse that ran a pretty good race against maiden claimers, and I'm talking about number 8, Jake Sam. Do we use him or do we throw him out?
That race was against very, very, not only maiden claimers, but I think a very weak race that day. So I'd be surprised if Jake Sam steps up against this caliber with that kind of race.
Well, we have three first-timers on the outside. My good buddy Eric Krujek has the 9, Take Gamo. Any comment?
Take Gamo's a big leggy colt. I think he's going to need a little time to grow into himself. He's bred to route. He looks like a router to me. I'll just have to wait on him.
And now we've got the $500,000 yearling bought back or something by Fipke, bred by Fipke. Bob Baffert trains him ready to showing a 58 and change gate work. He's 3 on the line with his go-to guy, Martin Garcia. Do we use number 10, Lagoon of Diamonds?
Yeah, you definitely use number 10, Lagoon of Diamonds. Bob Baffert, anytime he sends out a very fast 2-year-old colt, it'd be hard to leave him off. Lagoon of Diamonds is a very fast, quick little colt, and just on that basis alone, I believe you throw him in. And by the way, guys, looking at Lucky is back home here to Del Mar, I understand. Got back to the stable here on Wednesday. Bob Baffert's quoted as saying that it was rugged, but he looks good, and that's great news here.
That is great news, Toby. And shrug, and I didn't shrug when you said that because I'm a big looking at Lucky fan, as most people know. Carla Gaines does a fine job with every type of horse. This horse has a great pedigree. Babe in the Woods is a mare. It's an old family that Mandela used to train for the Mosses, actually, of Zenyatta fame. And he's by Magdagliadoro. He costs $300,000 at public auction. Brees Blanc takes the mount. What do we do with the number 11 horse, the picket fence, Shrug?
Well, first of all, be careful calling this an old family. Babe in the Woods, I remember like yesterday running around right here at Del Mar. It hadn't been that
Toby,
long.
Toby, isn't your daughter heading to college this year, Allison Page? Come on, Toby. We're not getting any younger. Do we use Shrug or not?
You know what? I'll tell you what. Spendthrift Farm is the same connections here that own Malibu Pier in the seventh race right before. If they get hot, this is a beautifully bred colt. The trainer, Carla Gaines, is red hot. Just on the cycle basis alone, and the fact that we always like to say picket fence when number 11 comes
up,
throw them in.
And I want to throw out a shout out to my buddy Keith Wilson, the Wheel, who came up with that picket fence years ago when I met him over at Hollywood Park about 20 years ago. Hey, Donald, I'm going to try something real quick. We don't have a ton of time. The number one, Leroy's Dynamo in race number 9, La Jolla. Does he have a shot?
Absolutely.
Toby?
I agree.
Okay, we're going to use Leroy's Dynamo. Sydney's Candy, the 7-5 morning line favorite. Toby?
Well, enough said. Sydney's Candy, he's got a great shot.
He won the Santa Anita Derby. Donald, what are your thoughts?
Impossible to knock the horse, so I'm not going to talk anyone off of Sydney's Candy.
Okay, maybe he needed that last race. Macias is going. I think Sydney's Candy is going to be forced to rate, which makes the whole complexity of the race interesting. Macias, Toby, do we use him or do we dump him?
I don't like Macias at this distance. I believe he'll maybe be in front at the 16th pole down the stretch, but I think it'll be a cheap thrill.
Donald?
Positive to a negative. He's a super game colt, but not today.
They are partners in crime, and they think alike. Number 4, Toby, you've always been high on Summer Movie, and early on at Santa Anita last year or early this year, we cashed a big gamble on the number 4 horse Summer Movie. How's he look down here? Do we need to use him?
Well, that was opening day at Oaktree, to be exact. How can you forget big $30 winners that get there for you? But Summer Movie is kind of an X factor for me here today. I wanted to see just a little more than I saw in his last turf workout, but he's 12-1, and you know what? I'd hate to see that cause a huge payoff and get knocked out.
Donald, that Swaps was a pretty good race. What do you think?
I'm going to pass.
Okay, Donald's passing. Five-horse King Edward has won 2 in a row. James Cassidy having one of those Carla Gaines types meets. Just anything he throws out there. He almost put over a 20-1 first-timer the other day. A cowbred that looked home and got caught by that saddler. I think it was a Bertrando or a Travel Rule or one of those. But King Edward has looked good down here. I saw him breeze on the grass. First to you, Toby. Do you think we need to use this guy?
Well, class-wise, he's taken a huge step up in class. The field he just beat here at Del Mar was nothing close to this field. So class-wise, he's got a big question to answer, but two things going for him. Number one, he's razor sharp. He just breezed like a butterfly over the turf course. Number two, his trainer, James Cassidy, is on a big-time roll, so that he's in the right hands.
Donald, breeze like a butterfly. Do we use him?
I'm not going to use him, but I understand those that do want to use him because he sure looked good winning that that race last time.
Okay, now the 6 horse is 30-1 face and the ace, and I'll tell you, he did not get the best trip in the world in the Oceanside. He's got the recency with that race over the track. Donald, can we use this guy?
And a no.
Okay, Toby?
We'll just stamp that one right on to the next horse.
Okay, our special guest today was trainer Ron Ellis. He brings a very dappled, yet he called a little lighter than he would like him. Sounds like he's just planning on winning maybe the Pacific Classic with this Son of Tis now in the next year or two. But for today, it's the La Jolla Handicap. He gets the 7-hole. I'm talking about Golden It Is. Donald, let's start with you. What are your thoughts? You've watched him train at Hollywood Park.
Yeah, he really turned the corner on August 2nd with a strong move, leveled out nicely in that final furlong like a total pro, and I think he gets better on grass, so absolutely.
I agree with that. And what about you? You said he was dappled to the nines yesterday when you saw him on the track, and I'm talking to Toby Terrell, probably the best clocker I know, the best clocker anybody knows here in Southern California. What are your thoughts?
I think you just answered all your own questions.
Okay, there. I guess we're using Golden to it is, and now we need Donald's help, and I think he even worked over this turf course, Toby, Alfie's bet, but let's start with Donald. Donald, you get to watch these Alexis Barber horses basically year-round. This guy has really shown signs of being a pretty nice horse. He was finishing in the Swaps, and there's speed in this race. Is he going to get the pace he wants in a 12-1? Will he take to the turf, and do we want to use number 8 horse, Alfie's bet?
He's another horse that I think is actually better on grass, and I think you absolutely have to use this big goofball, especially with the way Toby is liked the way he went over the grass on August 8th.
Toby?
The main thing about what he did on the grass here in the workout was the way he galloped out, which shows he will have the stamina. When he will have the stamina and he will be flying late, and he's got those veteran Zenyatta hands of Mike Smith aboard, I'd say throw him in there.
Oh, what a pleasure it was to sit next to Mike Smith last night at the Pompamoose restaurant and hear about Azari, hear about Zenyatta, and just hear, I mean, he's like a movie star, and we're going to have him on hopefully before the meet ends, but we got to jump to race number 10 and get best bets out of the way. These are 2-year-old cowbred fillies. First over to you. I'm going to start with you, Toby. We've got some horses with some proven talent. No doubt the favorite's going to be the 7-horse Teddy's Promise, who had that decent debut and was very well bet at 6-5. Is she a single, or do we have to go deeper than that?
I don't believe there's a single in the race, and since we are short on time, I'll just throw some numbers out with the names, and I guess we'll have to keep it that quick and simple. Number 1, Clubhouse Rules, is on the rail, but he's 8-1 for Craig Lewis. Number 7, Teddy's Promise, will be the favorite. He is a must-use for David Hoffman's and the meet's leading rider, Joel Rosario. And a number 9, California Nectar. Speaking of leaders, Doug O'Neill having a huge meet. Rafael Bejarano right on the heels of Rosario. And this first-timer has shown some ability, number 9, California Nectar.
Yeah, you know, and she's by Stormy Atlantic. You don't see too many Calbreds by Stormy Atlantic. And Suarez, very sharp guy. So, interesting. Anything to add to that, Donald?
No.
Donald, I love a man who's very short on words, but very right on when it comes down to getting those right selections down. You've been really having a nice meet. I've talked to you a few times. You're really on the ball, as is your partner, Toby Terrell. And you can get their product, CaseTheRace.com, SoCal Works. There is not a better product to bring to the with your own handicapping to help you beat these races. I'm kind of proud of my National Select. We've been on a roll all summer long. Spot plays coast to coast, trying to get those vertical trifectas and superfectas. Go to CaseTheRace.com. Get both products. If you get them every day, you can't live without them. If you try them once in a blue moon and it's not one of our better days, because let's face it, we have good days, we have a few bad days, but mostly good days. Let's go best bet. We're running out of time. Donald Harris, it's a Saturday. It's August 14th, 2010. We need to make some money. Help us do that, buddy.
My best bet, little shout-out to Decker and Laura, the best-looking couple out at Del Mar, and it just proves that the gambling together and you will stay together. At Saratoga, race number 7, the number 6, Cinnamon Beach. Big price on the board, and I think this horse got a total prep last time, and he definitely wants the 2 turns. Race number 7, Saratoga, Cinnamon Beach.
Donald dipping into Saratoga, and they have some nice maidens today, including Brock, the $2.3 million 2-year-old purchase by none other than Mr. Jess Jackson and trained by Steve Asmussen. Toby Terrell, best bet time.
Want to thank our very special guest, trainer Ron Ellis, who does send out Golden to Tiz in today's feature race, and another good buddy of mine down here who is signifies everything this great sport is about is Big Barry Abrams. Talked about him for years on the radio. 4th race, number 9, Papa Lev for Big Barry Abrams, my best bet of the day.
Was just in the paddock and looked like $1 million, ladies and gentlemen. That's how up to the moment Toby Terrell is. I'm Larry Zapp. You know, I basically can go so many directions. I won a race at Woodbine with a horse I bought named Benny Star the other day. I've got Aquila in the first with Matt Chu. I've got Holy Flapper in the 7th here. But I'm going with the Woodbine horse we talked about earlier, and I left a number out. You're going to use in race number 9 at Woodbine underneath the 2-3-4-7-9. But my key play is Red Leader. He's 15-1 in the morning line. He got his prep race. You all better watch out. I mean, this is a tough race because I don't know if he can beat the 9 Merkabah. And you might want to use them both on top because Merkabahs look like a beast. But Red Leader, 15-1 at Woodbine, race number 9, number 6, Woodbine. It is in your program somewhere. We had a great show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks again to Ron Ellis. We'll be back next Saturday, and all hail the Queen, Zenyatta. Case the Race Radio on CaseTheRace.com.
XEPRS 1090 AM, Rosario.